Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Micah, chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from the old, from the ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until time when till the time when he who is in labor has given birth, and she who is in labor. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. In the majesty of the name of the Lord is his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great in the ends of the, to the ends of the earth. And he shall be their peace. When the Assyrian comes into our land and treads in our palaces, we will raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 princes of men. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle lesson this morning is from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 5 to 10. Consequently, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to you to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the end of the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He does away with the first in order to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sacrificed through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord.
The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke chapter 1, 39 to 45. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Well, Mary, who was a teenager and a virgin, and Elizabeth, who tradition has it, was 88 years old at the time, both were pregnant. Almost sounds like the beginning of a joke, doesn't it? A teenage virgin and an 88-year-old woman walked into a bar. They were both pregnant. Sounds like a joke. And the details of the story are even more far-fetched than that. Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist, said to Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, "Why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Did you catch that? Elizabeth apparently recognized that the child growing inside Mary was the long-awaited Messiah. In fact, not only did Elizabeth recognize it, the unborn John the Baptist recognized it. All of this is pretty amazing. But is it true? I ask the question because when it comes to issues of a religious nature, our culture doesn't seem to value objective truth, as if truth and religion are separate. Here's an example of what I mean. I visited Independence Hall in Philadelphia years ago. If you asked somebody, where was the Declaration of Independence signed? And that person answered, well, for some people it was signed in Austin, Texas. And for others, it was signed in Santa Fe, New Mexico. But the important thing is where you think it was signed. That kind of an answer would never be acceptable to anyone. The subjective feeling in your heart that the Declaration of Independence was signed in Santa Fe, New Mexico, doesn't negate the truth. And the truth is, it was signed in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. But if we asked, was Jesus really born of a virgin? If we asked that question, it would be perfectly acceptable in our culture to answer with something like, well, I don't think it's a case of yes or no. So long as your faith helps you be a better person, it doesn't matter if Mary was a virgin. As if we have this idea that nobody can know the truth in the realm of religion. As if objective truth is an impossibility and you can only rely on subjective feelings when it comes to matters of faith. The theologian Rod Rosenblatt made the observation that saving faith was never intended to be an alternative to knowing the truth. You know, we emphasize with our confirmation students that the Bible is the story of God redeeming humanity, rescuing humanity from the consequences of our sinfulness. That's why the whole Bible, Old Testament and New, points to Christ. And the story of Christmas is an important part of that, of course. But the story of Christmas is more than a story. It's a historical narrative. It's fact, not fiction. It's not just about a baby born in a barn and laid in a manger. It's about a baby actually born of a virgin at a particular time and place, when Caesar Augustus was the emperor of Rome and Quirinius was the governor of Syria. A baby born who is the Son of God, who demonstrated his divinity by performing well-documented miracles of mercy, who fulfilled the righteous requirements of the law that you and I could never fulfill, who suffered and died on a cross as an atoning sacrifice for you. We have a detailed and accurate and verifiable historical record of his life. We can examine it and come to factual conclusions. You don't have to rely on subjective feelings in your heart. You can know the facts. You can not only look back to the time of Christ, you can look back further to the Old Testament, where the promises made to Abraham came to pass and the chosen people were formed. The people chosen to produce the Messiah, the Christ. And despite their rejection of God, God remained faithful to them and kept his promises to them, as he does to you. And through God's prophets, who always pointed to the coming Messiah, God revealed details of the Messiah's life in advance, including the astounding fact that he would be born of a virgin. Read Isaiah 7, written 700 years before Jesus. God invaded our world as a helpless human baby who grew to live and suffer and die for you That's not just a warm feeling in your heart. It's an historic event. It actually happened. So you can be at peace and know that you are forgiven and accepted and loved by God. Not only that, you're actually clothed in the righteous robes of Christ. So when God looks at you, He sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus. Today and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You sent Your Son, born of a virgin, who performed miracles. Lord, help us to recognize that this is Your Son who died for us to atone for our sin, and cause that fact to fill us with gratitude toward You. And because it was Your work and not our own, cause it also to fill us with humility before one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.